This first deep dive of May 2023 is from Wupio and colleagues. The association between sodium intake and coronary and carotid atherosclerosis in the general Swedish population, published in the European Heart Journal Open in March of 2023. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. Of the exposure-outcome relationships that we have previously covered, sodium and cardiovascular disease has most certainly been given its due. The backlog includes research lectures, several deep dives, and a long-form article. And the importance of this topic relates to the strength of the relationship between salt in the diet and cardiovascular disease outcomes, but also to the fact that it has been trendy, even in evidence-based nutrition, to suggest that salt and sodium intake are not really a nutrient of concern beyond individuals with hypertension. However, this line of reasoning ignores the temporality of this relationship and the strength of the links in the causal chain. First, the data is overwhelming that hypertension is a causal risk factor for cardiovascular disease, exhibiting a strong dose-response linear relationship with events and mortality. Second is the linear relationship between sodium and blood pressure, which is clear when using multiple 24-hour sodium excretion measurements. We'll discuss further details on this particular point in the Geekbox. Finally, the strong dose response and linear relationship between sodium and cardiovascular disease outcomes has crystallized with more recent evidence. In the most recent synthesis of evidence from studies that estimated sodium intakes from multiple repeated 24-hour sodium measurements, the risk of cardiovascular disease events was 18% higher for each 1,000 milligram per day increase in sodium. Now, with all that said, the chain of causation would appear to be sodium to hypertension to cardiovascular disease, with the assumption that this chain is explained primarily by effects of elevated blood pressure on vascular function. However, it is known that salt exerts other effects on the cardiovascular system. For example, increased left ventricular size of the heart, i.e. a thickening of the wall of the main pumping chamber of the heart. What about atherosclerosis? We typically relate atherosclerosis to blood lipid, given LDL cholesterol is the causal risk factor for this process and related cardiovascular disease risk. However, there have been some suggestions that dietary sodium may be associated with atherosclerosis. The present study investigated this association in a Swedish cohort. Geekbox, measuring sodium in nutrition research. It is critical to understand sodium measurements in nutrition research in order to contextualize some of the findings in different studies. Sodium is a nutrient that tends to correlate quite poorly from dietary assessment methods such as food frequency questionnaires and other recall methods. However, up to 95% of ingested sodium is excreted in urine, which means that urinary sodium has the potential to be an excellent biomarker for dietary intake of sodium. But this potential comes with a catch. To estimate actual daily 24-hour intake of sodium would require collecting all urine excreted by an individual on that day. This is clearly burdensome on both investigators and participants, as well as costly to research. Not only is this burdensome, however, there is also another catch, which is that sodium excretion is also highly variable from day to day in the same individual, i.e. within person variation. This means that if only one single 24-hour urine collection is taken, it will be unrepresentative of average intake in that individual. With one single 24-hour urine collection, estimates of sodium intake can vary by between 30 to 50% between individuals in a study. As a result, researchers have employed other methods. For example, a spot sample is where the investigators take a single urine sample at a random point during the day. This will also vary widely from the true intake for that day and therefore introduce a significant measurement error. For such single spot estimates, researchers have attempted to construct mathematical formulas for estimating 24-hour intake. Two widely used formulas are the Tanaka and Kawasaki formulas, respectively. However, these formulas are generally inaccurate and produce overestimations of risk at lower levels of estimated sodium and underestimations of risk at higher levels of estimated sodium. The issue of sodium measurement is at the heart of the apparent controversy in the literature on sodium and cardiovascular disease. To increase the reliability of estimates of sodium intake, multiple 24-hour collections are required, with three in the same person being desired as a minimum. To visualize and hear further discussion of the importance of the method of measuring sodium, I recommend you watch the most recent research lecture, which was entitled Sodium Measurement Error and the Unicorn-Shaped Curve, which you can find under the Research Lecture tab by searching under the subdomain micronutrients. The study. The present study was a cross-sectional analysis from the Swedish Cardiopulmonary Bioimage Study, a population-based study of men and women aged between 50 to 64 years. The participants in this study have undertaken clinical measurements of atherosclerosis of both the coronary and carotid arteries, including coronary artery calcification, or CAC. Blood pressure was also measured at a clinical examination. Sodium intake was measured by taking a single sample in the morning and by using the Kawasaki formula to estimate 24-hour sodium intakes in each participant. The estimates from the Kawasaki formula were also compared to sodium intakes assessed using a food frequency questionnaire. The study analyzed associations between estimated 24-hour sodium and the presence of carotid artery plaques, coronary artery stenosis, i.e. the narrowing of the artery from fatty plaque buildup, and CAC scores. The associations between estimated 24-hour sodium and both systolic and diastolic blood pressure were also analyzed. The outcomes were presented as odds ratio with a 95% confidence interval. Results. 10,764 participants were included in the final analysis, of which 52% were women. Average estimated 24-hour sodium intake was 2,925 milligrams and 3,642 milligrams in women and men, respectively. Association between sodium and blood pressure. Estimated 24-hour sodium was significantly associated with a 1.74 mercury millimeter higher systolic and 0.92 mercury millimeter higher diastolic blood pressure. Association between sodium and carotid artery plaque. After adjusting for blood pressure, there was no association between estimated 24-hour sodium per 1,000 milligrams and the presence of plaque in the carotid arteries. The odds ratio was 1.00 and the confidence intervals ranged from 0.98 to 1.03. Adjusting for other cardiovascular risk factors, for example, blood cholesterol levels, BMI, and smoking, but not including blood pressure, there was a 4% higher odds for the presence of plaque in the carotid arteries per 1,000 milligrams of estimated sodium, an odds ratio of 1.04 and confidence intervals range of 1.01 to 1.07. Association between sodium and CAC scores. Estimated 24-hour sodium was not significantly associated with CAC scores in any analysis, either adjusting for blood pressure or other cardiovascular disease risk factors minus blood pressure. The odds ratio was 1.01 and confidence intervals ranged from 0.98 to 1.04 for both analyses. Association between sodium and coronary artery stenosis. Estimated 24-hour sodium was not significantly associated with the presence of coronary artery stenosis in any analysis, either adjusting for blood pressure, where the odds ratio was 1.01 and confidence intervals ranged from 0.97 to 1.04, or other cardiovascular disease risk factors minus blood pressure, where the odds ratio was 1.01 and confidence intervals ranged from 0.98 to 1.04. These risk estimates are almost all in the range of noise. The odds ratios are 1.01 for four outcomes, i.e. a 1% higher odds, and 1.00 for one outcome, bang on the null, while the confidence intervals are spread across 1.00, and all confidence intervals are either over 0.95 and less than 1.05, except the carotid plaque analysis adjusted for cardiovascular disease risk factors. This indicates no clear signal for an association between estimated 24-hour sodium and these markers of atherosclerosis. The critical breakdown. Pros. The aims and objectives of the study were clearly stated. The major strength of the study is the assessment of atherosclerosis using imaging, computed tomography angiography for coronary artery stenosis and CAC scores, and ultrasound for carotid artery plaque, both accurate methods. This allowed for precise characterization of subclinical markers of atherosclerosis. Given the requirements for such measures, the sample size of around 10,000 participants is commendable for a cohort study. The study was balanced for sex amongst participants. The study attempted to consider the potential for the Kawasaki formula estimates to result in a J-shaped curve by also analyzing estimated sodium levels in quintiles or fifths, in addition to the main analysis, which analyzed sodium per 1,000 milligram increases. We'll discuss this further under key characteristic. Cons. The major limitation of the study is the use of estimated 24-hour sodium based off a single urinary sodium sample and mathematical formula, and validation against a food frequency questionnaire. The study is also cross-sectional in design and as such only provides a snapshot in time and does not provide us with any insight into the temporal relationship between sodium intakes and atherosclerosis progression. The finding for blood pressure is presented unadjusted for age or sex, both factors which may influence blood pressure levels. The analysis by quintiles of estimated 24-hour sodium was not presented with any confidence intervals, which limits the interpretation of this data. Similarly, the subgroup analyses the study conducted were not presented with confidence intervals, rendering their interpretation relatively meaningless. Key characteristic. If you've read the geek box above, you probably could sense that this was coming. The estimates of sodium intake using the Kawasaki formula do not leave us with confidence in the accuracy of the sodium measures and consequently in the associations from the analysis. So what is the issue with an estimate of sodium from a single urinary spot sample using a formula such as the Kawasaki formula? The Kawasaki formula uses sex-specific equations that also include age and weight, all factors which are themselves associated with blood pressure and thus may produce biased estimates of sodium intake. An analysis that compared data from sodium measured from multiple 24-hour urinary collections, 3 to 7 in each participant, to various formulas for estimating sodium intake showed that, on average, the estimates from formulas differed from minus 78 milligrams to 1,299 milligrams a day. Of particular note, the Kawasaki formula produced the most biased estimates in this analysis. In the present study, the author suggests that because estimated 24-hour sodium was divided into quintiles and the odds ratio increased with increasing quintiles, this indicated no J-shaped curve and thus the Kawasaki formula is valid for population level analysis. But there are some issues with this interpretation, the first of which is that they did not present confidence intervals for this analysis. And this is an omission because the extent to which the confidence intervals overlapped would have been instructive because up to the third quintile, the odds ratios were all modest. Secondly, the authors also suggest that the validation of the estimated 24-hour sodium against sodium intakes assessed from a food frequency questionnaire also support the use of the Kawasaki formula. Except, it is well established that estimating sodium intakes from such food-based dietary assessments is a poor method because sodium is often added to foods and meals in addition to any sodium present in foods. In the present study, in the highest quintile, estimated dietary sodium intake was 2,425 milligrams a day, while estimated 24-hour sodium using the Kawasaki formula was 5,235 milligrams a day, indicating a substantial variance between these methods. In effect, the central point the authors make is that because the Kawasaki formula didn't produce a J-shaped curve of risk estimates, it's valid. This is a real stretch, because the absence of any such curve does not mean the estimates of 24-hour sodium are accurate, and ultimately it is accuracy that nutritional epidemiology so desperately seeks. Interesting finding. In each analysis, the adjustment for blood pressure abolished any significant associations that were present when only factoring in age and sex of participants. This indicates that the relationship between sodium and the respective atherosclerosis outcomes was explained by blood pressure, which at one level is unsurprising given the causal role of hypertension in cardiovascular disease risk. However, where it gets interesting is when we look at the actual blood pressure status of the participants in this study. Consider that optimal blood pressure is generally considered to be less than 120 over 80 mercury millimeters systolic and diastolic blood pressure, respectively. Normal has been considered 120 to 129 mercury millimeters systolic and 80 to 84 mercury millimeters diastolic blood pressure. In the present study, average blood pressure was 124 over 76 mercury millimeters, indicating systolic blood pressure in the normal range and diastolic in the optimal range. Hypertension was present in 30% of participants. Thus, even in this cohort of participants with relatively good blood pressure readings, it was blood pressure that explained the associations with the levels of atherosclerosis observed in the study. The reason this is interesting is because it reflects some previous research which showed that over 10 years, the risk of a cardiovascular disease event was twice as high in the, quote, normal range when compared to the optimal range. In this regard, perhaps somewhat similar to LDL cholesterol, it may be that, quote, normal is not quite optimal for the role of blood pressure in cardiovascular health. Relevance. The paper very much implies, indeed states in its graphical abstract, that, quote, higher sodium intake is associated with a higher atherosclerotic burden. In their discussion, they lead with this statement before stating, quote, in minimally adjusted models, end quote, which meant the study site at which participants were measured and their age and sex. However, as we know from the results section, once adjusting for relevant moderating risk factors, these findings are largely in the range of noise and there is little confidence we can take in this association. This is not to suggest no true relationship exists. Recall that adjustment for blood pressure abolished the associations between sodium and atherosclerosis markers, which would be consistent with the proposed causal chain. Sodium, increasing blood pressure, increasing atherosclerosis. The first step in this chain, i.e. of the linear increase in blood pressure with higher sodium intakes, is at least clear in the evidence. What is not clear is that this relationship is operative specifically in the case of atherosclerosis. In individuals with salt sensitivity, i.e. exhibit very large blood pressure responses to salt, elevated atherosclerosis markers have been shown, specifically inflammatory markers and markers of vascular damage. A 2011 study showed that a single 24-hour urinary collection to measure sodium, which is still limited but better than a, quote, spot sample and formula-based guesstimate, was associated with higher carotid artery intimate thickness that remains significant after adjusting for blood pressure. However, similar to the present study, this latter study was cross-sectional in design, and thus we are left with a lack of understanding for the temporal relationship between sodium, blood pressure, and progression of atherosclerosis. Application to practice. The specific research question being addressed in the present study was whether there was an association with specific markers of atherosclerosis such as carotid artery plaques or coronary artery stenosis. And while this study does not provide us with any substantive findings to take away, it should not distract from the well-established causal chain between sodium, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease. Bear in mind that 10% of deaths from cardiovascular disease globally have been attributed to sodium intakes above 2,000 milligrams per day. And while there may be some individual exceptions, for example, athletes with high fluid replacement demands, the exceptions tend to prove the rule that maintaining a lower sodium intake is supported by a fairly overwhelming, comprehensive body of evidence. That said, to what extent sodium intakes may relate to atherosclerosis progression specifically remains to be established in better quality, prospective research.